Thank you so much, everyone. Welcome. So glad to have you here with us today. Welcome online. And once again, I want to just take this opportunity to thank the leadership team for giving me the incredible privilege of sharing with you this morning. And so without further ado, it's 2022. And you know how I am, I'm going to share kind of where I'm going through my journey, and I'm trying to understand what God's teaching me, and so you get to kind of come along with me as we do this. And once again, for those of you who know me, where do you think God starts me off? Back in Genesis 1:26 to 28. See, we were made in God's image and likeness. And I know we keep going back to this, but if we don't understand this truth, we'll never be able to live God's kingdom here on earth. We'll never be able to live the life that God has given us and that Christ restored to us. So let's just read from the Message version. God spoke. So this is something that we have to understand. God did not think the world into existence. God spoke. And that is why we must be very, very aware of our words. We've been made in God's image. So just as God's words are powerful, our words are powerful. And that is why you have in Proverbs, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So that's just a little aside. Please be aware of your words. God spoke. Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature. That's how he's made you. That's how he's made me, to reflect his nature. So they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. And we know that God's nature is love. So each one of us was designed to reflect love. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Now listen how he blessed us. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. You see, Jesus came to restore that which was lost. And what was lost was the image of God and our ability to administrate his kingdom here on earth. This is what we were created for. Jesus came and he restored that ability. You have to remember, we were born into Adam. We lost that ability in the garden when we chose to sin. Then Jesus comes because God has a grand plan, and we get born into Jesus, which means we are born again. And that which was lost is now restored. And we are called once again, you and I, to administrate God's kingdom on earth today, here, now, where we live. Romans 14:17 says, well, what is God's kingdom, you ask me? Well, Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And why is it so important to know what is the kingdom of God? Well, we have to remember, when Jesus came to earth, he came, what did he come to preach? He came to preach the kingdom. He didn't talk always about himself. He actually said, I've come and I'm going to go. I have to preach here. People would say to him, can you stay with us? Stay. He goes, I can't stay. I have to go there and I have to preach the kingdom. And when he did miracles, what did he say? He said, the kingdom has come near you. So Jesus came to preach and model kingdom so that we then, when he restored and made it possible, could live and model kingdom. Kingdom is the core message of the gospel. You know, sometimes we get sidetracked and we think that the gospel, the good news is that I'm going to heaven one day. Hallelujah, it's done. Woohoo, I'm finished. That's not the gospel. That happens, but that's not what it's about. Your purpose is not going to heaven. Your purpose is administrating heaven here on earth right now, where you see brokenness, where you see God not being present. You're to step into that moment and bring his kingdom. That's what you're designed for. That is the good news of the gospel, that I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to experience heaven, that you and I can experience heaven on earth. Now, I know very little about computers, but I want to, if you give me some poetic license, the kingdom of God is God's operating system. It's the way he governs life, and that's what he wants us to do. Now, if your computer isn't working properly, I don't know about you, but for me, 98% of the time is probably user error. And I think that's what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve were given from God how to live, but they got sidetracked and they kind of went into user error and they chose a different program, they chose a different way. And so what I want to suggest to you is maybe you too, in areas of your life, have gotten off track. But what do they tell you when your computer's not working, when the modem's not working? What do you need to do? What do you need to do? You need to reset. That's from the, I didn't realize it was reset. I said reboot. So let's do 2022, a time to reboot. That's going to be what our message is. Because isn't it wonderful that God's mercies are new every morning? That maybe yesterday was not a good day. For yesterday doesn't define you. Jesus defines you. And today is a new day. And you get to choose today. As Kevin said, it's a choice. As Carmichael said, righteousness is a choice. The path of righteousness, we choose. So we're going to talk about today, let's reboot. You and I are designed to live for God. If you are living any other way, regardless of what the world tells you, you will not be satisfied. You will not be fulfilled because you will be living outside of your created design. Now, the system in the world is not the system we were designed for. In John 17:16, Jesus tells us that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And this means, as Jesus' followers, you and I live in this physical time and space. But that's not our reality. That's not who we are. It doesn't define us. Jesus, remember, Jesus alone defines who we are. When you were reborn, born again, you kind of got rebooted. You weren't who you were originally created to be because of sin, but now, once again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you may say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about the Word of God. And the Word of God isn't based on feeling. The Word of God is not based on this world. The Word of God is based on the eternal truth found in the eternal living God. What he says never changes. What he says always prevails. And that's where we live out of. We don't live out of this physical realm. Now, what did God say? He said that he made us in his image. And then he gives us a command. He says to prosper. One of the things that's happened in the church is that whole prosperity gospel. And so when you hear the word prosper, some people, right away, their backs go up and they go, what, you're saying I'm supposed to be rich? You're saying that I'm supposed to have lots of money and I'm going to name it and claim it and all those kind of things. And that's not what God is telling you. Do you know that prosper means to become strong, flourishing, to cause to succeed and thrive? So what God's saying is, in your relationships, prosper. Are you strong? Are you thriving? Are you succeeding in how you deal with people? In your workplace, are you prospering? Are you bringing the kingdom? Are you flourishing there? Are you enabling others to flourish? That's what prosper is. In every area of your life, you're to be strong in the Lord. You're to flourish in his spirit. You're to succeed and thrive in every area of your life. And if you're not, then you're not living kingdom life. It's not going to be because you have this, I'm going to tough it out and make it happen. It's because you've actually surrendered. You're no longer trying to do your will. You're actually open and following God's will. That's how you prosper. And then he says to you, reproduce. And he doesn't just mean have children, though that is wonderful, and that's one of the things we do. He's saying, reproduce. He's saying, are you making other people? You know how Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ? So he was reproducing. Are you and I reproducing? Is there anyone who's following you as you follow Christ? It's because of your impact on someone's life. Is Jesus being reproduced there? Is Jesus being seen there? That's what he's saying. Go now, take my kingdom, and wherever you go, reproduce it. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. It hasn't changed because we're in a North American society. That's still what God has commanded us to do. Reproduce his kingdom. Wherever you step today, bring his kingdom. Bring his righteousness. Bring his peace. Bring his joy. How's your home life? When you go into your home, does everybody in your home kind of go, oh no, they're home? That doesn't sound like reproducing kingdom to me. Or when you go in the house, does everyone kind of go, ah? And you walk in and it's, yeah, there's peace here. There's joy here. We like to laugh together. The kingdom of God is in our home. Fill earth, he says, fill earth. What does he mean by fill earth? Well, just imagine, if you will, for a second, if every Jesus follower, because you know, contrary to what the world would have you believe, there are Jesus followers everywhere in the earth. The kingdom is advancing. God tells us that his kingdom will increase, that, and nothing can stop it. So we may not see it here. In North America, sometimes we think, oh, it's really hard here. It seems to be so, the world seems to be such a mess. But actually, if you go into other nations, it really struck me how Carmichael shared with China, how the underground church, the population, the tipping point is happening. There's going to be more Christians in China than non-Christians. Go watch, if you're on YouTube, and you see some of these conferences, and you see stadiums just filled with people, young people. And they're not standing there like this, disinterested. They are passionately worshiping Jesus. So just imagine if everyone who says, I'm a Jesus follower, in their sphere of influence, brought the kingdom, filled that space with the kingdom. That's what he says when the kingdom of God, the glory of God will cover the earth. For the Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. The glory of the Lord, the character and nature of the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're bringing it to fill earth with God's glory, with God's nature, with God's character. You do it in your sphere. Don't worry about the person next to you. You do it in your sphere. And then they'll do it in their sphere. And pretty soon it starts to cover the earth. That's all we have to do. I don't have to worry about trying to make those 10 people over there be more better. Fix them so they can show what Jesus looks like. Because that's what they should be doing. They say they're Christians. Well, No. I need to go, okay, in my life, Jesus, how do I show what you look like to my people? To where you've put me? And let God deal with them. That's not your job. Be free. Be released. And then finally, take charge. Too often, we hear take charge and we think, I'm the boss. You do what I say. Because I actually have to confess, I really do like it when people do what I say. And I have said, Lord forgive me, he's delivered me from this, but you know, if they would just do it my way, it would be so much better. Because I know what I'm doing, right? Well, yes, well, God's delivered me from that, and I do realize there are other ways, and sometimes other ways are better ways, and he has to still help me when that happens. But he says, take charge, and what he's saying there, he's not saying be bossy. He's not saying make everything happen the way you want it to happen. What he's saying is take responsibility for your life. That's what he's saying. I don't take responsibility for Michael's life. I need to take responsibility for my life. Trust me, that is a huge enough project to keep me busy for all of my life. So I would say to you, take responsibility for your life and what God has given you to do. What has he given you to do? Well, first we know, main purpose, in his image, to bring his kingdom here on earth. Take responsibility in your life for doing that. How are you doing in your life for reflecting God's nature? And if you're tempted to do the, oh, yeah, but nobody listens to me. It's like God never hears me. That's a victim mindset. And as Kevin, I think that was Kevin, wasn't you who said that? Stop with that. Stop with that. Give up a victim mindset. Stop believing and saying out loud the lie, it's too hard. Do you know, I'm changing the way I speak out loud. Because I realized that sugar has a great attraction or can have a great attraction for me. So now, instead of always saying, oh man, I just love sweets. I like to eat dessert every day. I could eat dessert every day. Now I say it out to myself. I don't need dessert every day. Actually, I don't like sweets. Sugar isn't good for me. And I actually say it out loud. And because I'm believing that what I speak will come to pass because my words are powerful. If you keep saying it's too hard, it's too hard, God. It's too hard. You know what you're going to find? It's too hard. So stop saying that. And start saying things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the issue that we often face is, I get into a situation, And that's when I have to start thinking, oh my goodness, okay, God, I can do all things. No, that's not when you do it. In the morning, you're by yourself with Jesus. And you say, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, when the devil comes against me, when temptation comes, I'm going to look to you because you do not tempt anyone. I'm going to stand on your word. I thank you, God, that you have made me in your image. I love you, Lord. Fill me with who you are. Let you be seen in me. And I do that before. And I start memorizing scriptures in areas where I'm weak so that when it happens, because it will happen. Every day, we must bring captive our thoughts into the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you that you will have days where you never have to do that. Then I would be lying to you. And I heard someone say the other day, and I'm going to say it, can I care more about your future than your feelings today? Can I do that? Would you give me permission to care more about your future than your feelings? So can we stop? Can we stop saying things that are unhelpful? Can we stop whining and complaining? We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, indwelling us. He's done it all. Simply do what God's word says, you will prosper. You will be strengthened. You will thrive. You will flourish because it's inherent in his word. His word is life. In the beginning was the word. And the Word was God, and the Word was God. He is the light of the world. Get the Word in you and live it. So, for instance, what has he said? Some of the things, do you know what he said in his Word? He said, put off anger and wrath and malice. Are you doing that? If you are, if you're not, you know, you're not functioning, again, according to God's plan or his design. And if we try to use the world system to make this happen, it's not going to work well. I can't get godly results using an ungodly system. All right? You and I are not designed to function that way. In the world, not of the world. On the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus says this, I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I myself do not belong to the world. Have you ever been hated by the world? If so, why are you upset and angry? Jesus told you that was going to happen. You don't need to, oh, look what the world did to me. Oh, and you get all this irritation, and you're so, oh, you know, you start getting stirred up with all this negative and anger. Why are you doing that to yourself? That's a choice. Jesus is warning you here. He says, they hated me. They're going to hate you. But you don't let that get to you because you're not of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. So the next time that thought comes, oh, it's so unfair. The world hates me. Stop it and say, yeah, but Jesus loves me. It's okay. I don't ask you to take them out of the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one. Are you in a place where you go, oh, God, take me out of here. I hate my work. It's so hard. My boss is so unfair. That coworker, they always eat that food they bring at lunchtime and it smells. This is, take me out of here. Well, sorry. I hate to tell you this. It's not a God prayer. Jesus himself said, I don't pray you take them out. Do you know why? Because the world needs you. You know that irritable boss, he needs you. And he doesn't need you. He needs you because he needs who's in you. And you are put in a place. God says, don't take them out of all these terrible things that happen, all the hard things and all that. He says, you know, Jesus doesn't say, save them, take them out, rescue them. No, he says, leave them there. But would you do something? Would you protect them so that while they're there, they won't let the devil use them? That's what it means, right? Someone treats you badly. He's saying, that's going to happen in life. But what he's saying is, don't let the devil come in. Don't let sin against you become sin in you. Don't let him come in and then start you spouting off, going to your coworker, that boss, you know what he did? Oh, man, I hate him. Don't you think he's such a... There you go. What just happened? Sin against you became sin in you. How about you go to the Lord in the secret place and you say, oh my gosh, God, would you help my boss? He's so lost. Does your heart break for these people? They're so lost. They have no hope. Kevin was singing, we have hope. Our hope is alive. Our hope is Jesus. He's there with us day in, day out. There are people in our lives who are hopeless. And instead of becoming irritable with them, instead of judging them and condemning them, can we say, God, break our heart for them? Can we say, God, would you help them? God, open their eyes. Because if they could but encounter Jesus, if they could but encounter his love, and then you know what Jesus will say? Well, that's what you're here for. That's what you're here for. They're going to encounter my love through you. Isn't that amazing? That the boss who is so ugly because you continue to love, he's like, what is that? And he encounters Jesus. That's what we're here for. And then he says, they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. And once again, do you ever feel like you don't belong here? Have you ever had that thought? I don't belong here. Trust me, that's not a suicidal thought. Please, don't go there. It's just true. You don't belong in this world. None of us were created for this world. We are created to be living in a pain-free existence, in a perfect one-on-one relationship with God, our Creator. That's what we were created for. That's the world we're designed to live in. And yes, we will get back there. But in the meantime, we're here because we're going to rule and reign for our King and bring his world, his way of doing things, into our sphere of influence. And then God says, set them apart for holiness by means of the truth. Your word is truth. Listen to this. Just as you sent me into the world, I send them into the world. So why are you here? Who sent you to that place that you're finding difficult? If it wasn't, because of your own stupid mistakes and choices, and sometimes we do stupid, and we have consequences. But if it's not because of that, so I'm not talking about that. If it's because, Jesus sent me here. Okay, Jesus, what is it you want to do? That's how we're to respond. On their behalf, this is what Jesus does. I'm setting myself apart for holiness so that they too may be set apart for holiness by means of truth. See, he did it first on our behalf. He's not asking you to do something that he hasn't done. He says, I'm going to do it first, and then now you're going to do it as well. And the word for holy is kodesh from Hebrew, which means from the root word kadesh, which means to be set apart for a specific purpose. So if you think holy is, oh yes, I just walk on clouds all day long. No, that's not holy. Holy is set apart for a specific purpose. So you are holy because you've been set apart for a specific purpose. Remember what it is? You're to prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. You're to administrate God's kingdom here on earth. Now, have you ever prayed, God save me or get me out of here? Again, those aren't biblical prayers. Remember, God has already, if ever you think that, remember, God has already saved or sozoed you. Jesus did that on the cross. It's a finished work. We have to be careful that we don't pray for things that have already been given to us. What we need to do in those circumstances is we need to appropriate and ask God for wisdom on how to use what he's already given us. And why does Jesus pray that we don't give the devil opportunity to protect us from the evil one? Because the truth is, our thoughts, words, and actions glorify God or the devil. They can only do one or the other. There is no neutral ground. That's a sobering thought. You know, sometimes we go, well, that's not hurting anyone. That's the wrong question. If you're doing something and you think, oh, it's not hurting anyone, or it's not really a big deal. That's the wrong question. Can you please ask yourself, is this glorifying God? That's the question you need to be asking. I need to be asking before I go on the internet. Is this glorifying God? Before I click through channels, is this glorifying God? For me, before I stay up way too late reading a book, is that glorifying God? When I get up in the morning and I'm exhausted and I really don't have time then to spend time with Jesus because I had to sleep in, because is it glorifying God? It's just the reality of our lives, people. Is it glorifying God? Remember, all things are available, God says, but not all things are beneficial. Is it glorifying God? And the way that God has made it possible for us to know is Jesus has given us God's word. And the way we're able to be holy and set apart is because we've done it, as Jesus says, in truth. And what is truth? Well, we know truth is not a thing. Truth is not a concept. Truth is a person, and that person's name is Jesus Christ. And so if I want freedom, if I want to function according to God's design, I must choose to live in and through truth and let truth, Jesus Christ, live in and through me. Now, to do that, I have to know the truth. Well, where am I going to find the truth? Good news, people. Do you know how many Bibles there are in the world now? Still the bestseller. Does everybody here have a Bible? Does everybody here have more than one Bible? You have access to the truth. So I'd like to ask you, what did you read in the Bible today? Last week, what did you read with the Lord? Where did you open, and what did you read? And if you say to me, well, actually, I didn't really read my Bible today or yesterday or last week or last month, please don't feel condemned. There is, in fact, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But remember, I'm caring about your future, not your feelings today. And if we think that we can live God's kingdom on earth without knowing what's in his word, we are deceiving ourselves. We're living an inauthentic life. But if I can say to myself, well, yeah, I realize I'm not reading his word. At least be truthful. But I have to say to you, if you have surrendered, now remember, when you say, I'm a Jesus follower, what you've said is, I have surrendered my life, my will, completely to Jesus. That I've given him my life. And if you have no desire to read your Bible, no desire to spend time with God, no desire to come to church, to watch online, no desire for God at all, then I would ask you, just in love, maybe go and revisit that moment when you thought you gave your life to Christ. And just talk to him about it. Because true repentance always involves change. Always. And you know, it may just be a little bit. You may live your life, and maybe you just move forward in Jesus a little bit. I want you to know, God will still love you. We will still love you. You're still welcome here. But you won't experience heaven on earth. You'll experience heaven in heaven. And when you're in heaven, you won't feel cheated or disappointed, but you just won't have lived the way you could have lived. Graham Cook says, because you see, change can be fast or can be slow. That's why sometimes you'll go like, they've only just got saved 6 months ago, and yet they're operating in miracles, they're doing this. Well, it's because they've taken the word, they've fed on it, and they're living the word. And then you have people who have been in church for 35 years and are still critical, condemning, not happy. It's because they haven't taken the word and eaten it and made it part of their life. Change can be fast or slow. I love what Graham Cook says. He says, you are currently moving at the speed of your obedience. I'll say that one again for you because that really stuck me. Sorry, I didn't make a slide for it because you are currently moving at the speed of your obedience. Now remember, I'm preaching to me here. You guys just get to come along. To experience heaven on earth, we must choose by the grace of God and to the best of our ability to completely surrender to God's will each and every day. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing, here I am, God, have your way. So what is God's will? Again, I'm sorry. If you do not read the Bible, you won't know it. Do you want to know God's will? And then if you don't read the Bible and you don't know God's will, you get caught in this catch-22 thing of, you know, I want to know God, but I don't read his word, so I feel apart from him. But I want to know God, but I don't read his word, so I feel far away from him. But I want to know God, and it's just like you just do this cycle. You just do this cycle, you're trapped. So instead, how about, instead of trying to say no to a million things, no, I'm not going to watch TV, no, I'm not going to scroll on social media, no, I'm going to, no. There's so many things in our life, right, that can attract us, and we got to say no to. How about, forget that, we try a new technique as we reboot this year. How about we say one yes? One yes. One yes to Jesus. One yes to him. And make our yes count. And then you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. Because, you know, if you say, well, I would love to spend time with the Lord. I'd love to read the Bible. But, you know, there's just so much. I don't have time. I have difficulty concentrating. I don't like reading. I'm too tired. There's always something, right? But I want you to do something for me. If you legitimately have an excuse and feel you have an excuse as to why you cannot be reading the Bible, I want you to take that excuse, sit down with Jesus, and I want you to tell him about it. And then I want you to ask him for his solution, because he's promised he always provides a way out. So if you truly are like, you know, I really do want to spend time with the Lord, but I just can't seem to find the space, then you go, okay, God, how do I make the space? And then do what he tells you. Don't go, oh, I don't know. Well, you could do that, but you're going to move at the speed of your obedience. James tells us, come close to God, and he will come close to you. Clean your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Can we be like that sometimes, right? Sometimes I go to myself, why are you like this? I can be double-minded. I want God, but I want this. Stop it. Choose God. Choose God. Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13. When you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. Isn't that wonderful? Like, just think about that for a minute. He doesn't say, if I have time. Unlike parents, friends, other people in our lives, we can call them. And you ever get that thing on it? You've called somebody and they hit that little button and on your phone comes the message, can't talk now. Or can I call you later? Or whatever little bubble pops up, right? God doesn't do that to you ever. You call, he says, hello? First ring, he's got it. Because he's waiting. He's waiting for your call. He's not sitting busy doing something else. He's sitting waiting. I wonder if Brianna's going to call me today. And he's got his phone ready. And she rings and he goes, Brianna, I was waiting for your call. You know, he sings Ping and Prem. And they sit down together to spend some time to talk to Jesus. And he goes, guys, let's do a group chat. You know, and he gives like the group thing. And he's like, I've been waiting for your call. That's what he's like. You know, we live in a society, in a world where we're being talked to all the time. Two words, social media. So don't raise your hands, but if I was to ask, how many of you checked your social media this morning? Don't raise your hands. Once, twice, 10 times? How many times this morning did you check with Holy Spirit? Do not feel condemned, okay? I'm just trying to help us open our eyes, our understanding to see and to reboot into a different way. And how do we talk to God? Is this how you talk to God? God, don't do this wrong, Jonathan, because this isn't true, but, oh, God, you got to change Jonathan. Oh, God, you got to make Michael more understanding. Oh, God, this checklist. God, do this for me. Oh, that's how I talk to God. Or I read the Bible. Oh, God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise to you evermore. Glory, awake, harp and lute. I will drink. Okay, read the Bible. Good, I'm God. Is that how I talk to God? Or do I go, I get alone when no one's watching, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You are so good. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for calling me and choosing me and making me your own. Thank you that you're changing me to look more like you every day. Thank you for who you are. You are faithful and true. Thank you that you are Elohim, the creator God, that nothing that has been made apart from you, that you are Yahweh. You are, and because you are, I exist. You are Jehovah Ra, my shepherd. Thank you for who you are. You are worthy of glory and honor. I love you, God. I love you, God. Speak to me this morning. Tell me what's on your heart. These are the things I want to do this morning. But what do you want to do? Is that how you talk to him? That's how he wants to talk to you. Jesus, in Luke 11, modeled for us how he spoke to his Father. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive us our sins, for we too forgive everyone who has wronged us. And do not lead us into hard testing. Let's break that down a bit. Father, may your name be kept holy, sacred, revered. Do you honor who God is with your life? Your kingdom come. God's way of doing things. And how is that going to happen? How is his kingdom going to come on earth? Look in the mirror. That's how it's going to happen. You. That's how it happens. It comes in you. And then you administrate it around you. Give us each day the food we need. It's provision, but there's also contentment. It's not give me everything I want. It's just give me what I need today. And I will be satisfied. Because it came from your hand. And you give me only good things. I will be satisfied in my God. Forgive us our sins, for we too forgive everyone who has wronged us. What does everyone mean? And this is hard because there are things that have been done to people which I will never be able to understand, that I cannot even conceive of, that are horrific, that are traumatic, that are evil and wicked and should never have been. So I'm not saying that what was done doesn't matter. It doesn't count. That what was done was okay. But what I am saying is God's word who says, forgive. Forgive everyone. Or is there a part of you that goes, well, I can forgive everything but that thing. That one thing I can't forget. That thing I can't forgive. And I have to tell you, it's not that you can't. And please again, remember, I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm trying to help us understand. It's that you won't. Because forgiveness is a choice. And you may have to choose it 20 times a day, but choose forgiveness. Because that's what God has not asked you to do, it's what he's commanded us to do. Jesus says, forgive me, forgive me. So I want forgiveness for me, but I want judgment for him. No, it's forgiveness for me, and I extend forgiveness to them. And this is going to be very challenging, I know. Because we say forgiveness takes time. And that sounds right. I'm just saying for me, because this is God's been talking to me about this. Forgiveness takes time, and that does sound right, doesn't it? And it sounds good. But if you remember, there was Jesus on the cross. And he's hanging there. Beaten more than anyone has ever been beaten. Suffered more than anyone has ever suffered. And he doesn't hang on the cross and go, I don't know. Father, I'm going to need a bit of time. You know, once I get to heaven, we can process this together. And after we process it together, I'll be able to forgive them for what they've done to me. Because what they did was so horrific. That's not what he did. He said, on the cross, in the midst of his, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we are called to live like Jesus. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you're walking still in unforgiveness anywhere in your life, if you're still holding that marker because they need to pay, would you understand that Jesus paid that marker? And would you let it be enough? Or are you still saying that, Jesus, what you did was not enough for what they did? Be free. Let Jesus pay for you, pay for them, and be free. Let it go. Choose forgiveness. And then he says, lead us not to hard testing. Do you know how not to be led into hard testing? When the love of Jesus Christ satisfies our desires, temptation will not be able to get its teeth in us. So our question is, how are we doing at letting Jesus satisfy our desires? My desire for love, or do I focus on Michael? He's got to satisfy it. My desire for significance, is it tied to me being up here? Or is it in Jesus? Let Jesus satisfy your desires. Because, you know, in the natural, if you're in a relationship and you don't spend time with that person, that relationship will end. It just peters out. So that is why every day we spend time with Jesus, because we're in relationship. And we want to have relationship. If you want relationship, you need to spend time with him. So as we begin 2022, I want to encourage us all to reboot. Can I ask Kevin, if you wouldn't mind, with the musicians, to come back up for a minute. I know this is, you have to see this, how we have to flow in the spirit. I just felt the Lord ask me to call them up. Hopefully they're still here. And when I finish, I want us to sing. Peter, we're going to do the first song. What's the title of our first song we sang? Glory to Glory. Olivia, we're going to do Glory to Glory when we start. Because I felt as we were singing that this morning, that God really wanted to emphasize, you know, we're rebooting, that I don't take you from glory to failure to glory to fail. God doesn't, no, he takes you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. That he is changing you. He is changing me. It may be small, it may be big, but he is. That's what we're here for. We've repented. We're being changed. And so I wanted to, when I finish, we're going to declare that. But before we do that, I want to ask us, can we choose 2022 that this is the year, by the grace of God, okay, not in my trying, but by the empowering presence of Holy Spirit in me, that's the grace of God, and to the best of my ability, all right? We have differing abilities at different times. We're all in different journeys. So at the grace of God, the best of my ability, I'm going to let God's nature be in my thoughts, in my speech, and in my actions. And then we can prosper, reproduce, fill earth, and take charge. So I'm going to do something here. If you could just, can I ask, again, this is going to be a little bit, no condemnation. Did you bring a book with a pencil? Did you bring your phone to take notes? Do you have anything to write with? Again, just a thought. If you were going to come and meet with Jesus and know he was going to talk to you, would you bring something to record what he says? Because you know, the way we're built, unfortunately, we forget. So I want to encourage you, when you come to church, come with the expectation you're going to hear something that you need to write down. So have something to write down with. Because we're going to do a little exercise before I end, and I want you to remember it. That's why I want you to write it down. So just close your eyes for a minute, please. Take a deep breath. Get comfortable. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you for what was shared today. And if anything was shared that was not you, I ask that you wash it away, that it would not stick at all. It would be gone. But whatever was of you, would you take it and would you sow it deep in hearts? And would roots grow? And would the seed germinate? And would fruit be born? And Lord, we talked about how we want to live kingdom in our lives. I ask you now, Holy Spirit, would you show each of us one area in our life where you want your kingdom to reign, where it has not been reigning the way you want it to? Just one area, would you show us? And I want you to ask him how, because you may say, okay, yeah, I see that area, but how is that going to happen, Jesus? So would you ask him, Jesus, how am I going to do that? How is that going to happen? And then I want to encourage you, write it down. If you write it down, you've already increased. Statistics show us if you write it down, you increase your chances of it coming to pass. And I would encourage you, I would implore you, say yes. Just simply do the one thing God has asked you to do each day. Say yes and do that. And trust Him that as you do, you will prosper, you will reproduce, you will fill earth, you will take charge. Jesus will be seen, His kingdom will come, and our God will be glorified.